Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio.
Sozo Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hi. As some of you may have heard, we are launching this campaign, starting a movement to read through the Bible in 90 days. That is the challenge. Are you up for it? So we're having a start date of August 1st, just so people can find out about it and we can all be on this plan together. It'll be awesome. So this is Daniel Lovett, host of Sozo Talk Radio. You can visit sozotalkradio.com, learn more about that, and or connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/sozotalkradio. Well, I'm excited. We're starting a movement, read through the entire Bible in 90 days. Why would we do this? What would motivate us to do this? Well, I was just reading. I started a little bit early, okay? Got a confession to make. I just can't help myself. So I was reading in Genesis 5 and 6, and I came across my why, my reason for why I want to read through the Bible in 90 days. And now, of course, I'm inviting you along for the journey in this. So there in the description of this this video, there are links to reading plans and to join our 90-day Bible read-through group on Facebook. So that should be fun, hosted by Sozo Talk Radio. How nice of them to host us, all right. I'm also doing it on YouVersion Bible app, which I highly recommend. It's amazing. You can get every translation, many of them. They have some amazing guy just reading the scriptures to you. So I'll put that on. Some of it's like even dramatic and stuff. So I'll put that on, you know, while I'm even either driving or, you know, washing my dishes, working in the kitchen, you know, just to marinate our minds in the Word of God. What do we believe about the Bible? Do we believe that it's really the Word of God? Well, Jesus certainly did. So I'm not prepared to call Jesus a liar, are you? My point is, we need to adopt just a high regard and respect for what the Bible is and to understand it correctly. Because for starters, you're reading history books. First of all, it's your history. It's my history. Up until Noah and his sons, you know, the sons of Noah diverge into the different races. These are our common ancestors. All right. When we read about Enoch and Methuselah, that's your great, 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 not so great, 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 not so great, 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 great grandpappy. Okay. So that's part of our history, right? And it's pretty amazing to think that our history is a lot shorter than you've heard. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But of course, what do our opinions matter? We're going after the truth, right? If you look at the truth of known history and taking a look at the Bible and the genealogical records, according to the Jewish scholars who have studied such things, they date the earth at since creation at 5,778. That's how long since creation. So I did do a little talk about evolution versus creation, which I am so fascinated with. The whole notion of creation science. I even talked about it tonight. I did a concert tonight at a nursing home. That's kind of what I get to do for a living, do concerts at nursing homes. I had two of them today, so I was driving all over the place as well. And the reason I'm doing this video so late is because this is finally when I have some time to do it. You know, it's just I've been on the road and out and about and traveling around, and I had an evening concert this evening, so. And I opened it up to requests, and all they wanted to hear was their favorite hymns. So we did. I normally don't fill a whole hour with just strictly gospel or hymn, but of course I loved it. You know, it's great. I just wanted to thank everybody for joining me on Facebook. It's awesome to see you all here, and I hope you all join me in this journey. I know Joshua, you joined the journey of 90 days through the Bible. Let me tell you about my testimony. Just when I read through the scriptures 7 years ago, and I knew, okay, so It's not that I haven't read the Bible since. Of course, I've read lots of different portions of the Bible, just reading it all the way through, right? With a plan or whatever. It was 7 years ago, and I did it in 2 months' time. And I'll tell you, at the time, before I started reading, I was keeping God at a safe distance. I'm like, okay, I feel comfortable, you know, whatever. You just stay over there. I'll stay over here. We'll just be at peace with our distance, you know. And I knew that wasn't right. I knew there was something drastically missing in my understanding of who God was. I wanted to dive deeper. I wanted to get to know God. I wanted to change something about that, you know, that distance and that feeling of separation. And so, yeah, I'm like, well, there's 66 books in the Bible. I'll just read it in 66 days. You know, and at first I was tackling a book a day, which was like crazy, because those are huge books. But yeah, and it was a struggle too. It was a struggle to get through portions of it. I even stopped for like a week or more, right in the middle. You know, I still managed to finish it in 66 days. I stopped for a week or more in the middle because my ego was just battling this thing, and perhaps even a lot of demonic influence, because we deal with that, don't we? I mean, we're in this world. We're surrounded by Satan and his horde of demons. Of course, the Bible testifies to this. Somehow in this materialistic-minded world, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. The devil doesn't exist or whatever. Demons don't exist. It's just mental illness or whatever, you know? Yeah. So, what kind of change and effect did it have on me? Well, I got through it because I determined I'm going to confront myself with these words of God, with the Holy One of Israel, until I change. I'm going to confront myself. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to, like, you know, take ourselves by the scruff of the neck and just, like, you know, you have to look at this. Look at who you are. Look at how, you know, kind of where our need is. The Lord says, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize their helplessness before him, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, he gives the kingdom of heaven to those who just recognize their desperate need of him. And I I was doing that. I was desperately in need of God. And it really changed me. It really affected me, because it first of all, it rose all this, like, oh my gosh, you know, when I come, because you encounter, like, the gravity of sin, and that really weighs on you. Like, whoa, the gravity of sin, this is so serious. He's really emphasizing how serious this is through the, you know, through the law and everything. It's like, whoa, it was just crushing me and crushing my ego. But then there was that sweet relief and joy and of coming into the New Testament of Jesus is the answer. You know, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus has dealt with the sin problem. And it was a huge problem. We understood, if you've read through the Old Testament, you understand what a huge problem it is, what the gravity of sin and but Jesus has set us free from sin. He has put an end to sin. When he said, it is finished on the cross, he actually kind of sort of meant it. And he seems to think he pulled something out there. So, yeah, it's something I just like to say, but yeah, it changed me. I learned to rest in the finished work of Jesus. That's what it was, because I couldn't save myself. I'm not going to perform my way into God's good graces. And by the way, God never intended it that way. That's why he frustrates all your plans to earn anything. He's going to frustrate you, and it's going to be hard, and he's going to rest that ego of yours, and he's going to crush it. And he's going to set you free from that ego, so you can just rest in the loving arms of Jesus and the loving arms of your Heavenly Father, knowing that he is taking care of you. He's a shepherd and overseer of our souls. He's a faithful creator who's loving toward all he's made. I mean, there's so many scriptures that encouraged my heart, and really, I came to understand salvation, you know, that I was secure in Christ after that. I learned to rest and just relax and breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, yes, Jesus has got us covered. So why read through the Bible? What is your goal in doing this? For me, it came when I encountered these scriptures about Enoch. You know, it says Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. And again, just a chapter later, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. So for me, that's my goal. Close fellowship with God. I woke up last Sunday morning with just a profound sense that something needs to change. You know, we're oftentimes like that metaphor of the frog being boiled alive in the pot of water. You know, you put a frog in a pot. This is what I'm told happens. Okay, you should try it out. Right, that's animal cruelty. It sounds like. Okay. In cool water, and then you just slowly turn up the heat, and then they don't notice the gradual change. They don't jump out. They get cooked alive, cooked to death. And this is what Satan is doing to us. And I just recognized it was happening to me. I mean, am I on fire, alive with the Holy Spirit, just ready to burst that life upon the world and be as impactful as I can be? You know, I'm somewhat impactful in, you know, what I do. I encourage a lot of people in nursing homes every day. That's a gift. What a blessing. But I can even do that way better, I know, with a lot more love. You know, and love is the point of all this. So, yeah, walking close fellowship with God. That's my goal. I hope that's your goal as well. And really, to deepen our faith, you know, Jesus said men should always pray and never give up. We should always be in prayer. Like Paul says, pray without ceasing. This is a mark, you know, that constant conversation with God is a mark of close fellowship with him. It's the faith that he's going after, right? That's the kind of faith that God's going after. And then Jesus says this, a little bit after he says that, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Noah. Now, these two men were highlighted. Noah in particular was like the only guy on the planet at the time, it seemed. The only blameless man, righteous, walking in close fellowship with God. The only one with a billion people on the planet, you know, from creation to the flood. Estimated about a billion or more people. He was the only one. One out of a billion. For me, that the odds of that are really shocking. I mean, it's really like, what chance do you think you have or I have? But yet, here's the thing. Every single one of us has the option to go after that, to choose that. To be that, to walk in close fellowship with God, to be a Noah in this day and age, all right? To walk blameless, you know, and righteous in close fellowship with God. You have that choice. You could be the one out of a billion. So Jesus says this, and that always struck me. I was thinking about this verse where he says, when the Son of Man comes, of course, it's Jesus, when Jesus comes, back again, will he find faith on the earth? Like, what a question. What a question. Okay, so here's another why to read, okay? Because here's what the Bible says about itself. He says in Romans 10:17, Holy Spirit, through Paul, writes, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. I'm not sure which word of God that's referring to, like the Logos or the Rhema word of God. There's two kinds of words of God in Scripture. Rhema is more like the current active God speaking to you, word of God. You know, and of course, the other word is referring to Jesus, right? Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So all of Scripture is really bearing witness to the Word of God. The Word of God, what we call the Word of God, Scripture, is bearing witness to the real Word of God, Jesus. Okay. So it's all about relationship. It's all about connecting you in relationship. And that Jesus defines eternal life as relationship. I don't know if you knew that or not. But that struck me when I first read that. So that's why I love sharing it. Because Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So it's all about this reconciled relationship, this friendship we get to have with God. And I made the mistake years ago when I was in Bible college to kind of make the Bible an idol. You know, I think some Christians mistakenly do that. And they become like the Pharisees who Jesus said to, he says, you search the scriptures diligently, thinking that by them you have life. Yet they are that which testify of me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Wow, that arrested me because I was doing that. You know, I was searching the scriptures diligently, thinking that somehow the answers were in those pages. Well, those pages, those words were testifying of someone that I was refusing to come to and just begin real, living, active relationship. So, yeah. And knowing the Bible, too, we're not going to get bamboozled by false teaching, and it will correct where we've gone wrong, because we've all gone wrong. I think every single one of us have errors in our thinking that can be sorted out as we read through the scripture and just be honest with God and honest with ourselves about those things that we've believed, those things that we've allowed to be there that have taken up residence in our basement vaults, as I like to say. That's a reference to Inception. You know, there's some things in the basement level of our psyche, of our thinking, of our worldview that we should be asking Jesus to interrogate. Interrogate those things, Jesus. Open those vaults. Investigate what's in there. Sort it out with me and for me. So the Bible says this of itself. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, I certainly want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want, you know, to be able to, when I run into somebody with cancer that God wants to heal, that God could use me to do it, or somebody in a wheelchair to get them out of there, you know, or to lead somebody to salvation. You know, I want to be ready and fit for every good work, equipped for every good work. That's what Scripture is going to equip us, right? Yeah, that's what it just says. Correcting and training in righteousness. So it's useful for all those things. All scriptures God breathed as well. So it's Holy Spirit inspired, God breathed. And so what we have in the canon, I mean, if you believe in a sovereign God who knows what he's doing and that he had something to do with making sure the right books are in the canon and the wrong books are kept out, you know, in the canon we have Holy Spirit, God breathed, words that will lead us to eternal life. That's what Jesus said about the words that God the Father gave him to speak. He says, I speak nothing of my own. I speak only what the Father gives me. And I know that his words lead to eternal life, lead to that reconciled relationship, lead to the most brilliant, wonderful friendship with God that you can possibly imagine. So that's what I'm interested in. It's amazing. So I would urge you and encourage you if you take up the Bible in 90 days challenge with me, starting August 1st through October 29th, that you would read it prayerfully, asking Holy Spirit, the author, to sit with you and teach you. Because we have Jesus' authority on this. He says this. Jesus says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Wow. So Jesus has something to say to you today that the disciples couldn't take at the time. Of course, it was late, a lot of it was later revealed to them, and that's where they wrote, you know, some of these books of the New Testament. Especially, we've got a lot of Paul, right? And Peter actually references Paul, and he says his letters are scripture. So Peter verifies that Paul's letters are scripture. Paul verifies that Luke's, you know, writings are scripture, you know, these sorts of things. And of course, Jesus authenticated Peter as an apostle and, you know, on this rock, I'll build my church. And so his letters, of course, are scripture. And we got John, the beloved apostle. He wrote five books, right? The disciple whom Jesus loved. And by the way, you can own that too. You can be the disciple whom Jesus loves. I'll take it. So the fact is, we have the author of Scripture with us. By the way, that author of Scripture has been poured out on all flesh, on all mankind. There's no one on the planet that doesn't have the Holy Spirit on them, working on them. God's on the job, right? He's been poured out on all mankind. This is just, I'm just quoting the Bible, okay? This is from Joel chapter 2. This isn't heretical or something. It's kind of fun when you quote Bible verses that would sound heresy to most Christians because they just haven't accepted all that's true about what's in their own Bibles, you know? As I like to say sometimes, you know, that the Bible is true in ways that most evangelicals cannot accept. Or even, you know, anyway, even stuff challenges me, right? I'm not outlining myself here, okay? Because I'm a real screw up at times. This is why I'm reading through the Bible again, because I need a change. Last Sunday, you know, last Sunday I was saying, I woke up with just like, God, I need a change. What can I do? And the idea for just reading through the Bible in 90 days came to me. So, starting a movement. Gonna join me? All right, so here's another thing that he says about Holy Spirit with you. He says, you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Did you catch that? Oh my gosh. Did you catch that? Just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So he's teaching you to remain in fellowship with Christ. He's teaching you how to walk in close fellowship with God. That's amazing. I just love that. So, Holy Spirit, teach us. You know? Pray that as you read. Holy Spirit, what do you have for me in this? How are you drawing me nearer to the Father? And this will be the focus of this 90 Days Through the Bible challenge. We're going to read prayerfully. Lord, lead us deeper into close fellowship. Are you going to do this? I encourage you to. You know, one thing I often talk about is the fact that your time is your life. How are we going to spend our time? And I don't mean this to make you feel bad at all. You know, it's not about that. It's about, okay, what changes need to be made right now? And of course, heeding God's word. You know, I'm reminded of what Jesus said. You know, if you don't listen to the prophets, the law and the prophets, how will you even listen if someone was to rise from the dead? You know, and of course we have a witness of someone who's risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, right? And, you know, we had Lazarus. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He was starting to rot in his grave, and Jesus called him back to life, thus displaying his power, displaying his authority and as the Lord. So, yeah. Are we going to heed his word? Are we going to pay attention to the law and the prophets? Are we going, you know, because the cost, the price for ignoring God is too great. It's a real slap in the face that he's written a book and we won't even, you know, take the time, like a half an hour a day if you're going to read it through in 90 days, to devote to him, to draw near to him. It's going to be a beautiful experience. It already has been for me. I've started the first, I'm almost through Genesis now, but I'm going to slow my pace a little bit just so I can catch up with the rest of you and stay at pace with the rest of you. I'm going to be gone actually for a week here going to family camp. So I'm going to be checking back in around August 4th or 5th, and maybe even later because we have family reunion and all that. But yeah, I connect with us over at the Facebook group. It's facebook.com/SozoTalkRadio. Go there. Again, it's facebook.com/SozoTalkRadio. And you can connect with the group there. I'll add you to the group. And so we can have discussion and just build a community around the Word of God. It's beautiful how a couple dozen of my friends have already joined this from around the world. And yeah, we're going to be reading through this Bible in 90 days together. This is exciting. I'm excited for what God's going to be doing in your life. How you're going to grow, how you're going to deepen your walk with Christ, how you're going to walk in close fellowship with God from here on out throughout the rest of your life. Okay, this is a big deal. This is the most important thing I could be talking about. So please connect with me over there at facebook.com/SozoTalkRadio. Join the community. I'd love to see you there. So thank you for listening. That's it for me. All right, have a wonderful day, and let's begin this journey. Hallelujah.